Oh, baby, baby. No. Yes. Maybe. Yep. We good? I can't hear you.
Good.
Say something.
Good. I haven't said anything yet. I
just say something. Perform.
I'm saying something. Saying something.
That's good. Hello.
Sweetie, have a good show. What you do is so important.
Thanks, bud. Hello. Hello, friend. How's it going?
Your voice has gotten deeper, I think.
Yeah, I'm still a bit sicko.
Well, it sounds good.
Just for you, just for the microphone. How you going?
For the listeners. Pretty good. It's been a quirky week, I think. I don't know. I feel like I'm like off to the side here. I'm all crooked.
You're all crooked. You're a bit quiet.
I've spent a lot of time out in the UMC shop.
Oh, cool.
Organizing and making it less chaotic, fixing some lighting, rearranging lighting. It was just like weird, like a lot of it was left over from how it was before in terms of like where outlets were and stuff. So just needed some time. So I spent like almost 3 days last week just like out there, which is kind of nice. It was kind of like
delightful.
Well, what does Saunders say? Days off in the shop.
Yeah.
It's weird sitting in here now. I feel a little bit off, like being static. Now I'm just ordering all the stuff that Ricky was marking in our shop. Well, we need these things. And I'm like, all right, I'll order a bunch of stuff now. Spend money.
Because you gave up the office in the second shop to your puzzle man. Do you have a little workstation or anything set up around there? Or is it a computer-free zone?
No, I have this. I call it my teacher's desk. And I got a cheap, it goes up and down, but it's like a moving cart that you would see in America anyway, maybe at a hospital or at a school where you can walk around with it on. It has casters and the little desk on top, and I put my laptop on that and kind of wander around with it now, like a administrator or something. I don't know what to call it.
I like it. It's just beep incessantly at you. Beep. Beep.
Yeah, it beeps. How are you?
I'm okay. Pretty on the low side, low ebb. I mean, just because I've been sick for the best part of a week now, but kind of just powering through it for the most part. So yeah, it's been challenging parenting week, or challenging cash flow week. And yeah, it's fine. I think, I don't know, maybe this is the beginning of starting to see a little drop off in sales. We've had, a pretty strong run last 6 or 7 weeks, and this is the first week where it's been a real struggle to close target for a while. So don't know what that's about. Maybe I'm just paying for my lack of focus the last 2 weeks, because we had such a little run. I was getting a bit blasé, perhaps. Maybe, don't know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I have a related story to that you just made me think of. Did I tell you about how I accidentally killed our sales for 4 or 5 days?
No.
I thought, I'll be smart. I'll put up a little pop-up on the site to get people's email if they're dropping off for our big sale coming up in May.
Yeah.
And that was I don't know if I'm going to get the dates wrong now. It was a Thursday, 2 Thursdays ago. Or something like that. And we had a pretty good Friday sales. And then usually we have a couple sales over the weekend, and then Monday kicks back off and we have, weekdays, we have pretty good sales. And it was just absolutely dead after Friday. And I was like, oh no. We're talking less than a third or a quarter of our normal sales per day. Just this is, something's wrong. I just, by 2 or 3 days into that, I was like, this, this hasn't happened this whole year. Third of a year we haven't had sales like this. I'm thinking I'm like, oh my god, I made a pop-up advertising the sale, and, you know, basically like trying to get people to sign up for the email list. I turned that off and I woke up the next day to 2 sales in the morning, which hadn't happened since I turned it on. And we've kind of returned to normal after that. But like, I don't know, I guess my point is maybe check and see if you've had any pop-ups on your website that are advertising a sale.
Do you think it was just turning people away because they were going to wait for the sale? What do you think? Why do you think
that's my theory. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, whether they would have bought something or not at the in the moment, it's a huge deterrent to, like, not that I'm trying to hide the sale, but just like I need to make money till we get to the sale too.
So,
like, too far out. Put notes for next year on our sale notes of like, don't do this.
Bugger. Oh, well, at least he realized.
Yes.
There's lots of things I've, just every time I look at my website at the moment, I'm like, I should do something about that and something about that. And I've been so slack with those little like, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. Like conversion optimization.
Yeah.
Like, I just haven't done much of that for a long time. And it's just a growing list, which is becoming a bit overwhelming. But yeah, I need to get into that more. Because like we get decent, like our traffic is decent. Like there's plenty of people hitting our website. That's always quite a consistent metric. And yeah. And, you know,
I mean, your purchases, you know, your primary product is not an easy just convert right away. It's like, I got to measure stuff. I got to like it's definitely like a consideration. So I suppose if you can like make people feel comfortable that if they make a purchase, they're not stuck with it, you know, like you're not refundable or, you know, something like that. I don't know, that you could maybe get more people into like a buy it now and, think about it later.
Think later.
That's the pop-up you need.
I did ask the like little Shopify sidekick thing the other day. Like, can you have a look at my site and tell me what I'm doing wrong? And I was quite impressed with its analysis, actually. I was like, yeah, fair point. Oh, yeah, I should do that. Yeah, cool. There's a whole bunch of things.
I hadn't thought about that, to analyze the front end stuff. Huh. I'm always just asking it for like projections and like, oh, I need to reorder this brand. Like, let me know what I should, you know, like trying to get like helping me do like logistical stuff, which has been pretty good.
Yeah. Choice.
I had the same kind of, I mean, I've been bitching about this and I just looked at the dates and it's the last time I was touched. It was 2024. I sent you a link to a guy that had tagged me in something on Instagram about how he was taking a version of our inventory Airtable that's like a post on our website. He had found it and he's a manufacturer, CNC manufacturer, and that he appreciated it and that he was making his own version off of our like template. And I sent it to you. And this is not to neg him in any way if he hears this, but between you and I thought it was fun. Because we both have hated the AI tool, but it was his best experience using AI so far. And I was like, maybe need to try some more options because it's pretty rough. It did a really nice job for what he was asking. But the reason I brought that up is because he was showing in his Instagram video, like on our Squarespace, old Squarespace, like linking to it. And I was like, oh no, don't link to the old Squarespace. Like that's... Don't show people that. It's so
try
messed
to delete
up.
That.
I like spent like way too long today like redirecting that page so it went to the Shopify and fixing that, and it had like old so many problems. I still have like 30 of those damn things to fix.
I feel like that's the main
and I can't for the life of me think of a way to make it better faster.
That's got to be the longest running project thread in this podcast, surely, is your migration of that website.
I had a whole conversation with Claude about it. I was trying to use it as like therapy one day. I was like, I've got this project that just won't go away. I can't finish it. I've had employees work on it. And it's like, oh, yeah, just delegate that to your new shop coordinator. And I was like, but, and I gave it all these reasons. And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, that is more complex. That's like SEO optimization and all these weird little nuances, coding. And you would think that like an agent, like an AI tool could do it, but I can't figure out a way to like, Shopify is the holdup, basically. I can't interact with Shopify in a reasonable way. So that's where I can't.
Shopify's got pretty extensive MCPs now, though. Have you checked out like the cursor connections to Shopify?
I need you to try that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't used cursor like you are, I guess. I kind of use it as more just coding and not MCP related, but I guess that makes sense.
There's a new one that came out, I think, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, as far as I'm aware, that it's official Shopify release. Seems like a very extensive connection to Shopify from Cursor with all sorts, you know, heaps of tools. Pretty much anything you'd want to do is possible, as far as I can tell. Might be worth a look.
Yep, that'd be good. The things that I've done to create like scripts and stuff to like move like our help desk was so much more complicated, I thought, than moving some blog posts between Squarespace and Shopify. And it just like befuddled me for years.
So here's a question. Like in a lot of ways, in my world or my circles, you are the face of like small workshop Airtable. Like if you search Justin PDX Airtable, you get a lot of web hits with your mug of a green background with an Airtable logo. Oh, hi.
Was I shocked about the Airtable? Huh?
How, like, you know, assuming you'll keep that content out in the world, which I think you should.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an avenue for sort of content for Airshop where you can sort of speak about why you transitioned away from Airtable?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could be an interesting angle because, like, yeah, you've been the Airtable master for so long. Could be an interesting take as, like,
that's a good point.
What prompted you to move away from it?
I've definitely struggled to, like, make that more naturalistic content. It's like, it feels like it needs a decent amount of production compared, I think I've said this before, but compared to just like walking up to the CNC router with a product on it and going, here, look at this. This is physical and real.
Mm.
But that's a good point. I did part of what I was doing in updating that blog post so that it was working on Shopify and not on Squarespace, so that it looked right and loaded properly, because the Squarespace is so jacked up. It's like really slow. Was adding a little update banner at the top and the bottom of the blog post saying, hey, we've actually migrated to Airshop now.
Yeah.
And
that's
here's
good
a link
call.
To it. But it would be better if there was a video on why. You're correct.
No, I think that's a great start. Just having redirects, not deleting the content, but having that sort of, check out why we've, you know, why we've switched, blah, 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 blah. Buy me a coffee while you're at it. Okay.
And there's so many old pieces of crap. So it's like you have all these ideas over time and they just, in a lot of ways, so many of these old things are really hard to, I have a lot of them I need to fix. Stop that. Give me homework on the podcast. No. Oh God, it's so messy. So have you been out of work, like not at work working because you felt pretty terrible?
No, most of my sort of sickest days aligned with my weekend. So I was parenting for most of it. And then, yeah, been at work the last 3 days. Powering on. Yeah. Yeah. No rest for the business owner. You know how it is. You don't actually get
to
stop.
For the wicked.
Wicked. Something I was going to ask you about. Oh, yeah, you've been getting into a bit of parakeet this week, I hear. A parakeet boy.
Oh, it took me a way too long. I thought you said power keep, and I was like, what did I
parakeet.
Do? Did I make? I don't remember that word. Yes, I've been trying. It's been a little shitty at the shop here, but I was using it on my laptop to pretty good success. I think some of the problem is like you need a microphone that's like I don't keep this in front of me when I'm not like mine has to be pretty close. So I don't keep it like I'm doing a podcast while I'm just working, you know, typically.
I do.
And so I think it's Jem is always be podcasting.
Well, just for
what
that,
we say at home to my son, and he's always, "Mommy, what are you doing?" And she's always like, "I'm cleaning." And then I started saying, "Always be cleaning" to him. So that's our saying door now.
I keep this mic in front of my face at all times for that exact reason, though, just because it improves the quality of my transcriptions. It's so much more efficient for me to have good mic input because I'm transcribing almost everything. And, you know, when I go, if I'm working at home, I'll often pull out like the Rode wireless mics and just like jack one in, put one on my collar. So the same thing. It's just like I can't stand shitty transcriptions on, like, I find that the microphone on this MacBook Pro is like the worst for like a high-end laptop. It's such a shit microphone. I can't, yeah.
I have a similar gripe, but it's like I will be, say, like listening to some music on it, you know, rarely out, because I want my kid to listen to it too. It's like some song, and I put it on the laptop in the kitchen and we're listening, and I try to do like the, "Hey, lady on my phone," you know, like skip to the next song, and it just will say, "I can't do that." Like it cannot figure out how to do anything on my computer at all. Can't stop, can't turn up the sound. And everything else is pretty capable when you're using your phone, but that's what drives me crazy. Is it hears me great and then just says no.
Yeah. So what have you been using? What are you parakeeting?
So you had shared the Mac Whisper, right? Is that what
Mac
it was called?
Whisper, yeah. Yep.
Which I, at the time, wasn't looking, and I saw somebody share, and it was like $50 or something, which, you know, I spend a lot on software, but I just didn't feel like I needed it. I've been using the normal dictation all right. And then somebody posted that they had made this Type Whisper. I don't even know where the heck I saw this. It's basically the same thing, but like has a free option. They use the parakeet option, and there's paid level, like 50 paid tiers that I don't understand, but you can use it for free.
Yeah.
Legitimately, like it's not, I'm not like doing anything weird. And it uses this local model called Parakeet. And when I was testing on my laptop over the weekend, it was like instant. Like I'd let go of the shortcut that was recording what I was saying, and it would be like done as soon as I let go. And I was like, oh my God, that was so fast. And like part of what really makes a difference, and I haven't tested this enough, is being able to like get the weird language you might be using, that's, you know, especially if you're coding, or so that you say something strange and it's not just like not typing it or it's gibberish. That really sucks. So I don't know. I've enjoyed so far. It's mostly good.
What have you been doing up until now? Typing or using the Mac?
Mostly typing. I mean, I type fairly. What I think is interesting is it's keeping track of my typing speed and then comparing it and how much time I'm saving. And my type speed is like 120, but we've both talked about this. Like, you know, you've never said you don't feel very fast at typing, but I've always been pretty quick. It's just dictation is like multiples faster, I want to say. It's like crazy fast comparatively, I just feel like I need that lately. Like, I don't know, getting things out faster.
Yeah, I'm completely hooked on dictation. Like, I can't go back to typing. Particularly because I've never learned to touch type. So I'm like, I can intuitively touch type a few sentences. I can touch type my name now. There you go. I just touch type my name. But that's about it.
I thought that was a joke.
No, that's for real.
Touch type my name now. The end. Like a middle schooler.
And my surname, you know. I'm pretty impressed with myself.
It is funny to go from like when I learned to, I guess you call it touch type or home row or whatever the hell they called it. I don't remember. Type, as I would, I guess, call it. I felt like I was like a wizard and I could type so fast because I was so interested, right? Like as a kid in computers and stuff, that when we had typing classes, I was just like, I'd already been typing for years, unfortunately. And it like kind of like mapped my fingers. And I feel like, especially over the last couple of years, it's just felt ridiculously slow, which is interesting to go from what felt like fast to now I feel like it's like almost like a hindrance to have to type.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah. My current workflow involves a lot of voice memos as well, because I think the voice memo app on phone auto transcribes on device now in real time, and it's reasonably accurate. So I'll do, like, if I'm working on a project in Cursor or something, and I walk down the, you know, out to the, if I'm home and I walk out to empty the bins or something, I'll like open up the voice memo app and I'll rant at the voice memo app for like 4 minutes, come back in, copy the transcript and dump it back into the project. And I've been doing that quite a lot. So my voice memo app is just full of like these 3 to 7 minute clips, which I'll never need again. Yep. But like they're me sort of briefing an agent on some feature or like whatever I'm working on at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I have, Ricky was asking me about this recently. He's like, you're always writing notes on your phone. Like, where are those? Because we were trying to figure out like organization of things. And he was asking where I'm putting notes on my phone. I was like, oh, I have this app. It's called Drafts. I think it's technically called Drafts 5. And it just syncs over iCloud between your Mac and your phone. And there's really nothing too special about it. It used to be kind of more unique, and now it's just raw text that gets synced. And so I write notes there, and I dump stuff into it constantly. And I have like 15 or 1600 like arbitrary notes. Some of them are like I save and update over time, but most of them are just, there's no like passwords or credit cards or anything. It's just like, you know, measurements when I'm in the back of the shop, so I have it at my desk. You know, like just stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, I have a, you reminded me, I didn't write this down anyway. I have a confession to make.
Related. You started a new task app.
Yes.
I'm just going to guess.
Something wrong with me. I've ding, 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 switched to Obsidian. Having heard about it on the fringes for a long time. I was chatting to another dad friend late last week, about a week ago. And
your dads are cooler than my dads, apparently.
He's been doing a PhD for a few years, and he was raving about how good Obsidian is. And I've kind of looked at it a few times, and they've got that cute marketing ploy of like the cool dynamic, like brain map graph. And he was like, you'll never use that, but it's, you know, it's good. it gets people in. But what appealed to me this week is that it's local. So it's part of my push to sort of localize some of my systems and my software stack. It means that I could migrate a lot of stuff I already had because it just uses MD files, and it was quite easy to set up. And I've got like a local repository that can be backed up to Dropbox or Git or whatever.
Yep.
So yes, yeah, I have migrated yet again. Git with Obsid.
I used to called Enviolt was the thing that I used for, God, close to a decade. It still exists. But it was just like this ridiculously simple text editor, but it allowed you to kind of like quickly move between raw text files and edit them. And it like auto-saved, if I remember right. It was really nice, super fast, like no latency to like open them. So you'd have the same kind of like bulk folder of file of .md, .txt files, whatever they were. So like there was no like technology to it, which was great. And so I eventually moved, I think that stopped working or something. And I eventually started Obsidian, and I still have it. I just like don't really use it anymore. It just, there's another layer of complexity to it that I keep coming back to this, like when I just need to write something down, I just throw it in this drafts app that has no organization at all, which is chaos. Mm. But I've kind of just accepted that at this point.
Yeah, cool.
I shouldn't expect stuff to stay there. So Obsidian's cool. I feel like I've heard people try to make like wikis with it. It doesn't work, in my opinion, super well as a team thing. So
yep.
Yeah. What do you think? How much, what have you done with it?
The first night I was mucking around with it, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to import all of Notion and all of Workflowy and delete Notion and it'll be our team wiki hub and blah, 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 blah. A few hours into that, I was like, no, let's just keep it as my personal notes for now. There doesn't seem to be a great way to like distinguish between, you know, Notion's quite good at that of like, cool, all of this stuff is shareable amongst the team and all of this stuff is locked down and private. Whereas Obsidian's sort of less suited, I think, to that distinction.
Yeah.
You probably have separate bases for separate functions. You know, I migrated all my journal entries. No, I haven't. I've deliberately sort of restrained myself from looking at any plugins.
It's like skinning Winamp, but like times 10. Like it's just endless. Like cool, I'm sure, and I haven't even used it since vibe coding started, like Obsidian.
I know, right?
So I can only imagine what is in there now. It was only when people knew how to code, were making stuff for it. So I'm sure it's even crazier, better than it was.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Stay tuned for an update on that in 6 weeks when I switch to something else.
Well, I wrote down, I can't wait for Back to the Cloud 2.0 when you...
Oh, yeah. When I come crawling back.
Locals. I don't know what happened. It's all gone. It, like, corrupted.
My server died, so, you know, I thought I'd just migrate everything back to the cloud, you know.
It's so cheap. I mean, there's this whiplash back and forth where, like, I've used mostly cloud services, and then, like, I have, like, a giant external drive. I had a NAS at one point. Way before I needed to. That was stupid and I spent too much money on it. And then it kind of like started having issues and it was like getting hacked all the time, like the web cloud to it. This was like 6 years ago. The endpoint where like you could get on the kind of like tunnel to it was like leaked or broken so that people were trying to hack into them all the time. The one I had. So I was like, all right, this is stupid. I'm getting rid of the NAS. I just got a big external hard drive. And have been using Backblaze to back up kind of their pitch was as much data as you want on a computer. And I just read an article. My friend also uses it, who does like IT and he's really into like computer security stuff. So he's always sending me stuff that makes sense for my business to like pay attention to. He knows I use Backblaze. And apparently, in their terms of service, they quietly updated that they can just terminate your service if you are basically causing like undue stress on the system. And I probably shouldn't be saying this publicly, but I didn't think I had much data on it. You know, it's like a lot of video files and all, you know, whatever's connected to this computer, both my computers. Apparently, I'm way, way, way 1% of how much data I have. And so probably puts me at risk of being terminated, as well as like apparently they've been like quietly moving certain types of files or I don't know about it's like it doesn't back up Dropbox files that are local or like Google Drive, and they just like quietly updated this without telling anybody. So people tried to go recover files and they're just not there.
Yeah, stuff that
God. Why pay for a service? So,
yeah. It's been a frustrating week in two things this week which really irked me. One, the shoe company that I've worn for a long time announced that they were pivoting to be a AI GPU service. And I was just like, what? This reads like an April Fool's joke. What the fuck? Is this even real?
I can't remember their name anymore. What was the new name?
God, I don't know what the new name is. All birds.
Airbirds.
Yeah,
AI,
it's like all birds is becoming airbirds. It's like, two. What the actual fuck?
Their so LinkedIn bizarre. Post is ridiculous about it. Where was that at?
And then yesterday, friend sends me a link saying that Cursor is potentially going to get bought by beep. Mr. Musk, kind of like SpaceX wants to buy Cursor. I'm like, what the hell?
Theoretically, hopefully not.
I know. It's just a thing at this stage, but. Bloody hell. Just that really triggered me actually yesterday. I was like, John, what are we going to do? We need a local LLM stat. Let's buy some hardware.
We need supercomputers.
Let's spend $30,000 on a GPU and set up our own thing.
Just like all birds, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They've got GPUs. We can hire this. Great. Yeah.
This is a fairly, you see these cycles every once in a while. And I think I've just gotten so used to like the valuations of companies being. At one point, it felt preposterous, and now I'm just like used to it. Like, I wouldn't have thought Allbirds being worth $4 billion, the shoe company, at one point was weird. But now that when they sold for $39 million, like the rest of their assets and like the shoe thing itself sold, it makes it seem absolutely preposterous that they were ever worth $4 billion. Like, what was the investment in the shoe technology? Like, what? Their sales weren't even close to that, I guarantee it, right? Like maybe a couple hundred million.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
What?
Yeah.
I can't find their stupid new name. I suppose we might as well not say it and just give them more.
No, I don't need the
all the traffic from our audience.
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy. Crazy.
I got Allbirds shoes as a gift and they didn't fit and I returned them.
No.
I actually had wanted them for a while and I like got them as a gift, so opted out, I guess.
Yeah, I used to be a big fan of them, and then for many years there they were like my favorite like parkour training shoe actually, because they had amazing soles on them, and then over the years they got less and less grippy. And like the last pair I bought. But actually, kind of crap. So yeah,
it's because that's
how your valuation drops from $4 billion to $50 million. It's just like lack of grip.
Lack of grip. We started out the day with one thing on the list, and it was my type whisper. And there's just nothing. It's like, oh man, we're gonna have nothing to talk about.
As if.
A rant. I haven't even gotten to my rant yet.
Oh, rant. Rant at me.
Rant.
What are you ranting about?
It's an old favorite of mine, but what? That looks dangerous. What is that thing? Vaping? Holy shit. You're pointing that at your face? What is that?
Pull your way. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, it looks like a flame from that view.
Apologies. Go on.
I had a salesperson from one of the companies we are a distributor of stop by. I'd never had met them yesterday, and we had a decent talk, and there was a lot of conversation. They're used to selling to most of their other distributors are pretty like old school brick and mortar. I don't know about brick and mortar, just old school distributors where you have like an account and you do terms and you don't really do e-commerce. And so he was like, I don't really know anything what you guys do. We don't sell a ton of their products. It didn't quite make sense totally after we added some others. And so I was like, well, I'm interested to potentially expand, you know, what we offer from you if it makes sense. And so we talked and kind of just like had an interesting conversation about the industry and like what where sales of products are going and how certain companies work, and It was helpful. I don't know that it helps sell their product to me. What was interesting about that is he was like, yeah, most of these companies are just terrible at e-commerce, like selling on the internet. And to me, that's like, was the entire first goal and how I wouldn't do it any other way. Like I wouldn't want to sell with accounts on the phone, or like, it's just, there's too much information to translate it, you know, another way. Like it just, hey, I'm not going to talk on the phone either. But it correlated to today when I went to go, well, there's two things. I needed to replace the belt. This is kind of confusing if you don't understand it. There's a belt that goes on the coolant oil separator pickup thing. It looks like a very thin like tube that goes into the coolant and comes back out, picks up the oil that's on the top, and it pulls it out into a bucket, so it's not in the coolant anymore. This comes from like the whey oil, the spindle, coolant separation, all these different things. It's kind of like the gross stuff you don't want in your coolant.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it sat around so long, not being used with coolant or something, it cracked, and we broke two of them almost immediately. So they were kind of cracked. And so I was like, oh, I'll just get another one. So I tried to go to Haas's website and can't find it. So I contact Haas. They're like, talk to Selway, which is our local dealer of Haas. part of the weekend, but took 3 days, 3 business days to get an answer. And the answer was, it's $150 for this little inner tube, like solid piece of rubber that's like, I measured, it's 45 inches long. And it comes with all these replacement parts. It took like 6 people to give me this answer. They actually just acted like they didn't know what it was in the first place. Which Haas is actually pretty good about like most of the stuff's on their website. But this one, they're like, oh no, you have to talk to the local dealer. And they didn't have any idea. Local dealer was like, I don't know. We don't know what that is. Let's talk to Haas. And I was like, cool. All right. I'm not trying to like make a big deal out of what happened, but just all relates to me. So a guy named Jake from Forefront Manufacturing, I was asking on Discord, and he's like, oh, I actually got rid of that machine. I still have some extra of those tubes. And so I just sent him a label and he sent them to me. And I was like, super cool. Thanks, man. That's super nice. And he's like, you should just upgrade to this other type of coolant filtration thing that most people do. It's called a next gen. I'm going to buy that. So I look at this other company. Sorry, long rant here. And we've actually sold them some products. They don't resell them, but they've sold them to their customers, I believe. And I was like, yeah, I think I've looked at their website. It seems like you have to sign up for the account to get pricing or anything. And I just usually walk away from those. He's like, yeah, it's a little annoying, but like their price was the best on this thing. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I sign up, enter my email, my shipping and billing address, and then push submit. And it didn't take long. It's like a half an hour and I got approved for their web shop. So I go try to check out and it's like, you don't have any addresses. You can't check out. And I was like, but I submitted what? And so I went in, like, it said contact support. So I contact support. My address is listed in the support ticket. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how are you? Why is everybody so bad at this stuff? I was like, why is my address listed here, but I can't use it? And they're like, oh, you have to wait an hour until it updates. What? Updates what? Like a server query in India? Like what? I don't understand what's happening here. They also don't have live price quotes pricing at all. You just get billed for it eventually. This is not a crate shipment. This is like ground shipment.
Yeah, well.
No public pricing. I just had a series of frustrating, stupid things, and I just don't understand how. Why? Why is it like this?
I don't know, man. Why is it like that? Is it just is it just a generational thing? Like, are these?
It's got to be.
Is it just, you know, the next person hasn't taken over these companies who is driven to update them? Or, I mean, it obviously, it must work for them at some level, right? They're still in business.
Yeah.
Like, something's working.
You know, it's funny. It's funny that, like, on one side, I can gripe about it being the purchaser, but on the other side, being a person that sells stuff on the internet, I'm like, yeah, keep sucking. I'd rather take that lunch from you. You know, like, I'd rather have a great website checkout experience where people are like, this is so easy. I'll just buy from them. You know, like, you can keep being bad at this. That's fine. Like, as long as I can buy stuff fairly easy once in a while. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I avoid
half of that rant out, but
avoid using anything like that. I think, like, the closest, you know, any supplier that doesn't have like an online checkout, I get pretty much walk away from. I think the only exception is if, you know, if I need a bearing in a hurry, if a machine's down due to a bearing, I have a guy I can call and a bearing appears like hours later, which is fantastic. And there's definitely no like online transaction occurring in that instance. It's just like, it's like the opposite end. It's like how I think traditional service should work of like, you pick up the phone, you get an expert who knows what you're talking about. And they're like, oh yeah, don't get that one. Get this model number of that bearings. It'll work better for that application. And then like a couple of hours later, the courier arrives with a package and it's like, and they bill you later. That's a fantastic. But I feel like if you're not going to have a tech solution to your sales pipeline, then stuff should just happen. I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, that's true. You should be billed later if they're not going to make it easy. And I was just thinking about some of the local services and even like stuff across the country that we like buy, and like they won't save my credit card or they require payment up front, but there's no easy way to do that. And I don't know what the situation is there. I'm sure you guys are smarter about this generally, but there's so many companies that want me to send them my credit card information through a web form. That would be fine if it's secure, like in a PDF with my signature on it, or just in the plain text of the email. I'm like, are you an idiot? Why would I do this? Like, it's so dumb.
Amazing.
And they won't ship until you do.
Yeah. I've had a few like paint shops who have, with our sort of informal permission over the phone, have like kept our credit card details under the counter, just written on a scrap of paper because that's how they operate. I'm like, cool, man. Whatever works for you. If that's going to make my checkout process easier, that's fine.
Yeah. If I've had credit card fraud a few times, and I'm almost certain it's because of situations like those where it's like some local company, it could be around the country too, we're like just keeping it in a spreadsheet somewhere, and that spreadsheet gets some kid comes in that's like, oh, these are useful.
Mm. You know? These numbers.
Not the boomers.
We had our first credit card fraud, actually, I think, ever in the history of the business just last week. And I'm pretty sure it was because one of the guys left a card sitting on the front seat while they were doing deliveries. And someone must have just like, joop, taken a photo of the digits through the window. As far as I can tell, I don't know. It could have been leaked some other way, but it's fired. Thankfully, the transactions that appeared were relatively low value. It's only a couple of $100, but
Interesting. There is a nice little feature which I will use at times through Mercury, where you can, I think you said you can do this too, you can create like a vendor specific card number, credit card.
That's cool.
And so you can basically specifically trace if somebody's doing fraud. Like, it was definitely that company, you know, like
that's a cool thing. Yeah, we definitely don't have that. That's awesome.
That's a nice little, it makes you, I think maybe that's one of the things that feels so nice about Mercury, is it makes you feel like a real adult. Like, oh, they're actually trusting me to like do things on my own, like make an account or you know, not be charged for stupid fees.
Excuse me, I keep coughing my guts up on the mute button. Apologies.
Oh, you haven't been muted.
No. Oh, no.
You haven't. That's one of the nice things about not having to edit the raw files anymore, is like we don't have to listen and mute them ourselves.
God, that's right. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. I've been jumping around between books. I think I mentioned before, I've been listening to The Pumpkin Plan. Mm. I think, I don't remember who said it last. Maybe Dylan was talking about it. And Mike M, I never know how to say his last name. He's fairly entertaining. You know, and he kind of is like in the audiobook, he kind of like puts in little like excerpts that aren't in the book that I don't, it's better than some of these, I just couldn't continue. I may come back to it. Traction was so dry, like so painfully like old school business book. I just like, I can't, I just have no interest in it. But The Pumpkin Plan's been pretty interesting. It's kind of a lot of, you know, things that we talk about that it's nice to hear in different industries or something about like kind of the synopsis being you get rid of the bad clients and you focus on the good clients and you try to replicate them, whether it's okay. Product. I mean, it makes a lot more sense in a service-based role, I think, than it does products because you can't always like choose your product customers. But yeah, it's interesting enough to listen to and kind of a nice reminder in a lot of ways of like the things that I think I already believed and like doubling down on who and what we take on. Is it, he talks a lot about like cutting off services that don't make any sense. Like, you know, if you're not good at finishing, don't do finishing.
Yeah.
For me, the thing I think that we really needed to cut off, and I'm pretty sure that's going to happen someday if I ever change the website, is like we're not going to do like design work probably anymore. It just never really pays off for us and requires me to do it too.
Whatever. Well, my headphones just failed, sorry. Well,
I'm here.
I can hear you, but it'll be laptop speakers. Hello, how's that?
They do that thing where they lost their like seal.
Just lost their speaking of your listening habits, one of your screenshots in something you sent me, I could see in like the little top bubble, like I was like, oh, what's Justin listening to? And I like googled the name of it and some random daily podcast, what was it called, TBTL?
Oh, you're out in my daily podcast. Yeah, that's from when I tried listening. Yeah, there's no way you would enjoy it.
I tried listening to one episode and I was like, what the fuck is this? What's Justin filling his brain with?
Started as a radio show in Seattle when I moved to Seattle, and my friend was listening to it and he's like, you should try this. And podcasts were like fairly new at the time. It was like 2012 or something like that. And so I've just kind of like, I don't know if you ever, like, I grew up listening to morning radio shows with my parents, like in the car, like we'd go to school or something and you listen to the same radio show. So it's kind of like that for me. Like, it's like my digital radio show where it's just two guys I have listened to for a decade.
Yeah.
And they mostly familiar just voices. Complain about like their trash or like my airplane flight sucked today. And it's like completely nonsense, but it's like devoid of political talk or it's just a little safe space to like not think too hard.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's on episode 4,000.
I know. I was amazed. That makes more sense because as I was listening to it, I was like, are these guys trying to be like, they're very button happy. They've obviously got a lot of samples and buttons and stuff. And I was like,
I've stolen a few of them.
That makes sense that it was a radio show. It makes sense that it was a radio show now. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, I might take myself. I'd love to go back to bed, but no, I must go parent the little ones.
Podcast went long. You're just at work still. Gonna go take a nap in my upstairs bed hammock, whatever you sleep in, on the floor.
It'd be amazing. I've got a good mattress upstairs. It's quite comfy. Well, it's been a pleasure, as always.
Yep. Glad you're alive.
Thank you. Likewise. I'll see you next time.
See ya.
Boy. Yeah,
see ya. I was like, wait, we're going to see you next time? Yes.
See you then. What's happened?
That took like 10 seconds.
Warm for parkour, best grip on the street. Then the rubber got weak and they lost their feet. Sold the whole operation for 50 million flat. Now old birds is their birds, can you believe that? 4 billion to nothing in the blink of an eye. Shoot text to GPU, who the hell wrote this lie? Old birds took my shows, gave me servers. Buddy blew up my phone with the link. Mr. Mask wants cursor and my kitchen sink. I yelled at my partner, we need local LLM instead. 30 grand on GPUs before they murder the chat. Supercomputers in the workshop, just like all birds AI. If the cloud goes down, survive. Old birds took my show.